Mediterranean. Nothing else would have made any sort of sense. It also explained the peering, protruding eyes they all had, living in a world of perpetual semi-darkness. Everyone was female, and all wore black pants and woolen coats, with black leather boots. There was a range of ages and sizes, most of them seeming to be in their late 20s to mid-30s. Christy noticed that the ones she'd heard speaking had masculine names, or ambiguous names that could be either male or female. Freddie, Sam, Frankie, Robin, Joe. She wondered about their sexuality, but didn't see any clues in the way that women behaved toward each other.
Food was awful.
Robin was slender, with a long, narrow face. A tiny silver stud sparkled in her nose, and she had a number of plain metal rings through both ears. She carried a cocked Navy Arms 22 caliber Luger, aimed steady on the chained woman.
Food's always awful. Awful when you get born, awful when you die.
How do you get any babies when there's no men around here?
We bring men in when we need them. Not very often. Put them in the milking cellar and drain them till we've got the needful going.
Then?
Robin smiled, the boggling eyes widening so far that it seemed as if they might plop out onto her cheek and dangle there like painted eggs.
Then's the best time.
Christy didn't ask her to elaborate. When you guess the end result, the details of it aren't really that important.
We was gonna bring the others in as well, you know.
Others?
Christy shifted her position, trying to get her leg comfortable with the ankle lock tied around it.
Yeah. The black woman, the men, the kid. If you hadn't walked out for a piss and fallen straight into our hands, we'd have come in the store and taken all of you.
Why didn't you go in after the others anyway? There were enough of you.
Of course. Easy as crushing a roach under your heel. But once we got you, the rest didn't matter.
Why?
Robin shook her head, waving the handgun threateningly at Christy.
That's enough talking for now.
Robin took the metal soup plate with her, slamming the heavy iron door. Christy lay still, conscious of the great weight of stone hanging above her. As the women had driven her along endless corridors and narrow passages, she lost all sense of direction, only knowing that they were going ever deeper beneath street level. She wondered how long it would be before Ryan tracked her down and staged the rescue. It had become increasingly dull and overcast. A penetrating drizzle came drifting in from the east, bringing the faint taste of salt. Water misted the outlines of the scarred and twisted ruins, gathering in dull pools among the ash-smeared rubble. From where they were concealed, Ryan and Dean could see the locations that Mildred and JB had chosen for their own hiding places.
What if they don't come?
We think of something else, son. Try and pick up tracks nearer in.
What do we do when they come?
Play it like it looks.
Chill them?
Dean caught the look in his father's eye and tried a second thought.
No, of course not, Dad. Sorry. That's stoop. Chill them and it doesn't help us find Christy, does it?
No, it doesn't. Now cut the talk, son. Watch and wait.
Ryan lay back against a flat wall, resting, leaving it to Dean to watch for anyone moving through the ruins. It was late morning before Dean touched him on the arm.
Dad?
There were four of them, moving in a spread skirmish line, showing a degree of military organization that gave Ryan a pang of concern. All wore black clothes and had handguns holstered at the waist. Oddly, every one of the women had on dark glasses. Since the day wasn't exactly flooded with dazzling sunlight, it made Ryan wonder that they might have some kind of vision problem. It wouldn't be the first time he'd come across muties like that, and it would tie in with his suspicion that their headquarters could be deep beneath the ravaged heart of the ville. If there'd only been a couple of them, it should have been possible to take them without any shooting. Double the number, and you double the odds against success. Ryan had long ago lost count of the times he'd been in this sort of situation. It wasn't possible to make a hard plan of what you'd do. There were too many imponderables. All you had to do was agree what was the broad aim, then let everyone do what they thought best to achieve that aim. Which meant that a lot of times, things didn't go like you hoped. The four women picked their way across the open space, occasionally glancing around. Ryan pushed the barrel of the Steyr into the open, resting it on a shelf of concrete. The laser image enhancer brought the nearest of the muties into sharp focus. She was hunchbacked, and her pale face was striped with black. Ryan recognized a powerful .357 Magnum on her hip. He knew that Mildred and JB would also be watching the women over the sights of their own weapons, waiting for him to open fire first. Ryan hesitated,
The area was a maze of fallen brick and metal. Once he squeezed the trigger, there would be no going back. There might be other armed patrols in the vicinity who'd come at the double as soon as they heard gunfire. There was no doubt he could put the hunchback woman down with a single bullet, but a bolt-action rifle wasn't ideal for rapid, accurate fire. Mildred's target pistol would certainly take out a second mutie. JB would open up with the Uzi and probably kill a third target. Ryan's cheek was pressed against the smooth walnut stock of the Steyr.
Still leaves one to run.
Dean was crouched at Ryan's side.
You going to do her?
Trader used to say that if you wait long enough, you wait too long.
He pulled the trigger and took his eyes off the scene below him for a moment, but he could hear and interpret what was happening. Mildred and JB were handling their business. At his side, Dean opened up with a Browning, though the range was likely much too far for him, and he lacked the physical strength to control the big blaster. By the time Ryan had the rifle leveled again, the scene had totally changed. His target was down, her skull blown apart, a puddle of blood and brains around what remained of her face. Her feet were still moving as though she were making a desperate effort to run away from her own death. Mildred had used her great skill with the revolver to kill the woman who appeared to have been leading the patrol. The big .38 caliber round had hit her in the side of the neck, ripping out her throat and taking half the cervical vertebrae with it. The mutie was lying on her back, completely still. JB's weapon wasn't much use for accurate single shots, and the Smith & Wesson scattergun was only really effective up to about 50 yards. But he'd hit the short woman with gray hair at least three times. She was down, but not dead. The fourth hunter, slender and young, had set off like a startled hare, darting toward the building where Ryan and Dean were hiding. She'd had enough sense not to waste time drawing her own blaster. Her feet kicked up rainwater as she sprinted, her head back, arms pumping, jinking as she ran to throw off the aim of her unseen attackers. Ryan stood, trying to bring the Steyr down to a sharp enough angle, but the blonde-haired mutie was already close beneath him. Her dark glasses had fallen off as she ran, and he could see her staring, goggling eyes. The Czech target pistol's bullet kicked sparks from the stone a few yards ahead of the woman. JB was no more successful, trying another burst from the Uzi, but the bullets hissed wide of the dodging figure by several feet. Ryan glanced sideways, wondering why Dean hadn't tried another shot from the high power, but his son was no longer there. A handgun fired from the center of the plaza as the wounded woman struggled to her knees, drawing and shooting in Ryan's general direction with an agonized slowness.
Fire blast!
Ryan put a bullet through the center of her nose with the Steyr, killing her instantly. By then, the fourth of the patrol was out of sight, disappearing into the first floor of the ruin where he was standing.
Dean!
Down here!
Ryan turned and ran for the wreckage of the stairs, picking his way carefully, the rifle slung across his shoulder. As he began to move, he caught a glimpse of both JB and Mildred starting to come out of hiding.
Dean!
This time, there was no answer. When Ryan reached the street level, he saw why. His son was busy. The last surviving mutie woman was in the doorway, holding a rebuilt automatic pistol, pointing at the center of the skinny chest of Dean Cawder. Close up, Ryan could see that the blonde woman was only in her mid-teens. Her eyes were like pool balls, brimming out of the sockets of wind-washed bone. She was panting hard, but the old repaired automatic pistol was very steady in her right hand. Dean's Browning was just as steady in his hands, centered on the woman's midriff. They stood about 12 feet apart. Ryan looked at them, locked in a gaudy house standoff.
One of you pulls the trigger, and you both get to be dead.
The Midnights will have you by the balls for this.
JB and Mildred appeared in the other doorway, their blasters ready. Ryan shook his head to warn them not to try anything hasty. The most important thing was to save the threatened life of the boy. But Ryan wanted, needed, the woman kept alive to be questioned about Christy. It would have been absurdly easy for any of them, including Dean himself, to kill the black-clothed woman. But that brought the strong probability that she'd still get to fire her own gun and blow a plate-sized chunk out of the boy's spine.
Let me go and I won't shoot!
Fuck you! Don't let her go, Dad! Don't!
Not a lot of choice, boy. She's got the drop, hasn't she?
You better run from here, because you'll get to shit yourself when we track you down!
It occurred to Ryan that, despite being outnumbered by 4-1, the mutie wasn't at all frightened. Angry, but not frightened. And that was strange, because it spoke of unusual confidence.
Speaking of messing yourself, I knew a Mex woman near the Grandee made a chili stew so hot that you shit blood for a couple of weeks after eating some.
What?
She turned a fraction toward Ryan,
the gun moving with her. Mildred immediately shot her through the right elbow, the bullet splitting the joint apart, exploding through cartilage and tendons. The mutie's own blaster fire